We welcome you to worship with the Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our worship today. Information on how to order tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's sermon will be given at the close of the program. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday and worship with us. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
When we see all of the corruption that is found in our world, do we ever have a tendency to ask, God, where are you? We're going to talk about that in a sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. God in heaven, we thank you for the blessings that you have given us on another Sunday to turn to your word and hear a word from you. When we look at all the chaos, the turmoil, and the confusion that is found round about us, we know that we need a steady, comforting, counseling voice. Speak to us, O God, and reassure us that though we walk through the valley to the shadow of death, we will fear no evil, for thou art with us. In other words, in the middle of all of this mess, there you are. Speak to that end, we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.
Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumphs of his grace. My gracious Master and my God, assist me to proclaim, to spread through all the earth abroad the honors of thy name. Jesus, the name that charms our fears, that bids our sorrows cease, 'tis music in the sinner's ears, 'tis life and health and peace, and peace. Hear him, ye deaf, his praise, ye dumb, your loosened tongues employ. Ye blind, behold your Savior come, and leap ye lame for joy. Ye blind, behold your Savior come, and leap ye lame for joy, for joy.
In the Apostles' Creed, we confess, and I believe that he will come again to judge the living and the dead. There is a great deal in Scripture about the judgment. Even our Lord Jesus Christ talks about it. Let me read you just a portion. I tell you the truth. Whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. I tell you the truth. The time is coming and has now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself, and he has given him authority to judge because he is the Son of Man. Here ends the reading of God's holy word.
Oh.
friends in Christ, when Christians view the majesty of God's creation, we have to sing, "My God, how wonderful thou art." But when Christians see the corruption of this society, corruptions like wars and crimes and terrorism, don't we have to ask sometimes the question, where is God in all of this mess? I believe that if we turn to God's Word, there is an answer to this question. And I know of no other place to go for an answer but to the Bible. So what I'd like to do is have you turn your attention to the 50th Psalm. It's a psalm that we don't read as often as Psalm 23. But to me, it is a conversation that God is having with the people whom he has a covenant with, and they are the people of Israel. You remember way back in the 12th chapter of Genesis, God one day said to the father of the Israelites, Abraham, I will bless you in order that you might be a blessing to others. This covenant was again emphasized during the days of Moses. And he said, I'm going to give you all kinds of blessings. You're going to have a land of your own, a land where you can live, and I will be with you as you go and fight the battles to get that land. But I want you to know that as my people, you will live according to my will. And when Moses came and renewed that covenant with the people, they all said, everything the Lord has said, we will do. Well, as the years went by, they broke that covenant. Perhaps they forgot all about it. They just took God for granted and perhaps sometimes wondered if he was ever really with them. Now then, God wants them to know that he is. And so in this 50th Psalm, he says, get my people together. Bring them from all over. I want to have a conversation with them. And here he goes into the depth of their spiritual life. And the first thing that he talks about is their worship service. That is, they would come to the temple, to the synagogue, or to wherever they were worshiping. He said this to them, I don't want to rebuke you for your sacrifices. They would come to the temple to offer their sacrifices, nor your burnt offerings, which are ever before me. In other words, as one commentator said, what God was telling them was simply this, I really don't need your offerings, but I have commanded that you bring them because you need them so badly. They are a reminder to you of our relationship with one another. But he said, there's something about these offerings that I want you to know are not just true blue. For example, he says, I don't need your offerings. I have no need of a bull from your stall or a goat from your pen. For every animal of the forest is mine, and the cattle on 1,000 hills are mine. I know every bird in the mountains, and the creatures of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine, and all that is in it. In other words, again, I don't need those animals you bring to you, but you need badly to bring them to me. So I see you coming, and that's fine. But there's a note of hypocrisy in your worship. It's almost like a ritual. It's something that you go through. It doesn't come from your heart. It comes from your head or just repetition. That's all it is. And then he goes on to say, part of the reason that I say this to you is that after you've been to the worship service, it doesn't seem to make any difference in your life. He gets pretty hard on them in this particular psalm when he says, what right have you to recite my laws or take my covenant on your lips? You hate my instruction, and you cast my words behind you. And then he goes on to say to them, the commandments that I've given you, I told you not to steal. But you know what you do when you see a thief? You join with him. I told you not to commit adultery. But what happens to you? You throw your lot with all of those who are committing adultery. Now here you are, offering your sacrifices on the Sabbath, but on Monday or Tuesday or whenever it may be, you're highly involved in this whole matter of stealing and living an immoral life. I've told you to use your mouth to praise me, but you use your mouth for evil and harness your tongue to deceit. You speak continually against your brother and slander your own mother's sons. These things you have done, and I have seen them. And again, I have to wonder, where are these people with whom I have made a covenant, that they could come and worship so superficially and then go out and live their own lives? Well, as he continues, this is recorded in this 50th Psalm, he said, you probably wondered why I kept silent, didn't you? You probably even thought that, well, he's not concerned about the way we're living, and maybe he even condones it. Maybe he would say, well, I can understand why you live as you do, circumstances being as they are. Yeah, I was silent. You didn't hear from me for generations. But you were wrong. And now I am going to rebuke you. Those are the words of the psalmist. I will rebuke you, or I will now judge you. You could ask the question, did he ever judge those people with whom he had made that special covenant? Well, all we can do, friend, is consider Israel's history. They were captured by the Assyrians, and many of them were led away into exile. In another part of the whole people of Israel, the Babylonians came and got them. Now, this is not a detailed history, of course, just a brief summary. And there were other enemies in between, but eventually the Greeks came, and they were captives. And then the Romans came. And finally, the people of Israel were scattered all over the earth. There was no homeland. They scattered into Western civilization. They flooded into what is now Europe. We see the atrocities that they went through, the poor people, during the days of the Nazi regime. We know that they perhaps have suffered in many other parts of the world. They came to the United States, and they're a part of our citizenry here, and have had places of great prestige and honor. And they have been a people who have applied themselves and have done very, very well. But they still had no land. Finally, in 1917, according to the Balfour Declaration, Palestine that we read so much about in the newspapers today, was to become the homeland for the Jewish people. And so they began to move in there. But there was continual fighting that went on with the Arabs. And that went on for a number of years, 30 in fact. And then in 1947, the United Nations partitioned Palestine into a Jewish and an Arab state. The area west of the Jordan River, which is known as the West Bank, and the Gaza Strip were allotted to the Arabs, and in 1948, the Jews accepted this partition, but the fighting wasn't over. In 1967, Israel recovered the West Bank and moved back into the land. And there they live, even to today, but not without conflict. And that's what we see in the terrorism of one kind or another. The people God had blessed in so many ways and called them the people of the covenant had suffered such hardship under so many nations. Now my question is this. Does God always keep silent? And here is one that is a bit more personal, and one that is very difficult to interpret and even ask, but I place it before you today. Does God, dealing with his people of the covenant today, speak in this same manner through this same psalm? In other words, you know that according to New Testament Christianity, the people of the covenant today are those who trust Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. The covenant of God is not limited to one nationality. There are Irish, there were Italians, there are Germans and Norwegians and Swedes and Danes and all of the rest. For if anyone will bow his knee and confess Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, God has entered into a covenant relationship with him. They are the people of the covenant and congregated together in a group. This is known as the church. Now, the majority of these people who are Christians, who call themselves Christians, are known in Western civilization. That's where they live. This is their home. In other words, just take a look at the Christian church in America today, and here I would leave it to that. As the covenant people, the people with whom God has entered into a personal relationship, those people, not those who just belong to a congregation, but those who confess their faith in Jesus Christ as the Savior of the world, this is the covenant group. The majority of those, I think, still we can say, live in Western civilization. But for our purpose here in the message this morning, let's just turn that to the United States of America. And here we have to ask ourselves the question, is God speaking to us, those of us within the United States of America? For not all of Americans are of the covenant. But those of us who are of that covenant group, who live in the United States of America, who bear the name of Jesus Christ, is he speaking to us? Now realize who we are. Sure, we're the people who go to church on Sunday morning. We are the people who go to our places of labor. We are the people who are the CEOs of some of the largest corporations in the United States. We are the people who flood the halls of Congress. Most of them confess that they belong to some Christian congregation. We have occupied the White House from the beginning. So you see, we are a scattered people. I don't want you just to think of those who are sitting in a worship service on Sunday, but we disperse from there and we go into our society. We're at worship. And there we sit. Now, does God want us there? You bet he does. He tells us to come to that house of worship on Sunday, but he tells us to come there to worship. He tells us to come there to sing our hymns and offer our prayers and then listen to what he has to say to us. Do we do it? Well, I can't make a judgment call on that. But when he says, you go and tell the story of Jesus Christ to the world, and people say, I've gone to church all my life and I've never told anybody about Jesus Christ. What do you say? When we bring our children to the baptismal font, whatever it may be, and then we're told to go home and introduce them to the Lord Jesus Christ, and they never hear dad or mom say anything to them personally about their relationship with the Lord, what do we have to say? Are we the people who might be compared to Israel of old, who went into their places of worship and came out and lived as a jolly well pleased? Is it just a formality? Well, you know that he went on and talked about the lifestyle. He said, you joined the thieves, you joined those who fall into adultery, you misuse your mouth for bad things. Is that the way we live? We know God's will. And supposedly, while we're not under the law, it is the gospel of Jesus Christ that causes us to move as our Lord wants us to move. And all the time, God is silent. And society becomes more corrupt all the time. And so we have to ask ourselves the question that I have as our theme today: where is God in all of this mess? Is he forever going to be silent? Well, according to the word of God, he isn't. And we know again that one day he will come to judge the living and the dead. No, he is not forever going to be silent, but how long will it take? Could he actually do some things before the final judgment that would really bring difficulty to those of us who have enjoyed a life of ease in Western civilization in comparison with the rest of the world? Could we also collapse? Is it unpatriotic even to ask that question? My friend, this is kind of serious business. I listen to the television and read the newspapers as you do. And from the White House right on down through, we are being told that we can expect another terrorist attack. What kind? Why? Could it be that God is calling us back to repentance and to faith in him? Again, we Christians are all over the place. You bet we're in Congress. We're in the legislatures. We're in the governor's mansions. We're in the top of corporate America. And look at all the corruption that has just been revealed there. Now look, this is the last word. And this is the important word. That if we will repent of our sins, this psalm says, then God will offer us his salvation. In New Testament terms, that simply means that if we will confess our sin and place our faith in Jesus Christ as individuals, as a church, and as a nation, the God of grace who gave his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die for us, is the one who will say to us, your sins are forgiven. I will continue to bless you and make you a blessing. Then live according to my will. Amen. Father in heaven, make your church very sensitive to what your word is saying. Help us to really ask the question, is there any difference between the old covenant and the new covenant that you have established for all people who trust in the Lord Jesus? Then grant, O God, that we may faithfully walk with you as your servants and be vocal in every way in our society. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray that the message and music in today's service will strengthen you for the week ahead. Share the word of Christian Crusaders with a friend, a relative, or a neighbor. By making more people aware, we can increase our radio and internet ministry by sharing the word and spreading the light, so no one walks in darkness. Christian Crusaders is funded entirely through free will gifts and donations from individuals and congregations. Donations enable us to buy time on radio stations throughout the United States. We thank each of our listeners who have remembered Christian Crusaders with their gifts and prayers. Cassette tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Our toll-free phone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Christian Crusaders invites you to find out more about our ministry on the internet. Our website address is christiancrusaders.org. That's Christian Crusaders, all one word, .org. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa, and radio pastor of Christian Crusaders for the past 40 years.